Hello and welcome to episode number 57 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And, excuse me, with me, Mark Wilkinson. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. How are you, Hello. Keith?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm pretty good. Feel like I've had a productive couple of days, which is makes a change. So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. How about yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Same, really. Been productive few days, finishing off little bits and bobs, ticking boxes and, you know, getting things finished off, which has been nice. And the weather's been fantastic here. I don't know what, you said it was a bit dull down with you, didn't it, before? But
we've had, yeah, I think because we're kind of sitting under the jet stream at the minute, aren't we? And I think we've got this, like, loop of cold wind coming down off the North Sea, keeping it very windy and a bit cold and pretty grey today. So,
gorgeous, yeah. It's blue skies.
Yeah.
Little breeze. Paddling pools out.
You know? I'll let you have your moment in the sun, Mark, and then I'll gloat for the rest of the year. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't usually get much nice weather up north here.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yep. Welcome along. If you are watching live on YouTube, thank you very much. Do let us know who you are, where you are, and we might say hello. And if you have any questions for us, then we always like to take questions. So please let us know in the comments, and we will try and get to as many as we can. What are we talking about today then, Keith?
A couple of things. First topic is client empathy. I guess it's more our empathy towards clients, but we'll talk about that. You're going to talk a bit about your adventures with block development, I think.
As always.
And then we just might just nod our heads to the people heading to WordCamp Europe at the end, and then hopefully take some questions. So if you've got any questions, like Mark said, please get them in. If you're watching along live, stick them in the YouTube comments. Like Nick just has, he hasn't asked a question, but he said hello. Hello, Nick. Lovely to have you along today.
If you're not watching live and you do have a question, then you can let us know. We're at WP Cafe Show on Twitter, and we'll try and maybe include it into the next episode. So do feel free to tweet us as well with those.
Yeah, and we do stream this on Twitter, but I don't know if anybody watches it on Twitter. So if you are watching this on Twitter, can you just like say hello? Just reply to that tweet, and it'd be really interesting to know if anyone's actually watching it on Twitter. Let's crack on. So client empathy, why are we talking about this, Mark? Do you want to give a bit of background?
So I think this comes about in that we had an incident, is that the right word? An incident, I think it was this week, where Gravity Forms had an issue with, I don't know if you're familiar with Gravity Forms, but you can pass values to fields dynamically, populate fields dynamically. And we were doing that with some forms. And after updating to the latest version of Gravity Forms, it broke, essentially, and the fields were no longer being dynamically populated. And for the client in question, this essentially broke the workflow that they were using, because they were passing data from the form to something else, which then allowed someone to sort of get an access to a resource. So we got the ticket that was, you know, everything's broken, and we looked into it. And then with Gravity Forms' support, they accepted that this was actually a problem with the code, and they passed us a fix, a hot fix, which is essentially like run something on a filter to fix it, which worked really well, but that took, you know, 24 hours to fix. And I think where the client empathy bit comes in, like our empathy to clients, is that like we've done nothing wrong there, really. Like we've built something that works, something external has broken it, and, you know, are we on the hook to fix it, et cetera, et cetera. But then my empathy towards the client is that, you know, this thing's broken, yet no one really knew about it until presumably someone tested a form, or someone filled one in and said that, you know, got in touch with them and said, I can't access the resource that I've just done. So I can fully understand from the client as to why that was a problem. You know, how is this allowed to happen? And from my point of view, I'm sat there thinking, you know, that's really bad. It shouldn't be allowed to happen. But actually, I don't really know what to do to stop it happening. Because we don't have anything in place at the moment that would fix that. And that's where the client empathy comes in that I'm frustrated because I know it shouldn't happen, but I don't really have the tools and facilities and know-how to stop it happening without manually testing things, you know, every week or every day or whatever, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was the background of it. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think the key point there was like the emotions that kind of we felt, and you obviously, we felt some frustration, possibly unjustifiably, because all we did was read a Trello card and you kind of infer the tone that that's written in and all that kind of stuff, which is very dangerous. It was a very matter-of-fact card. There was no emotional language in it or anything. But obviously, because it's a problem, it's also not super cheery. So, yeah, it's easy to read into that about the way that the client is feeling, and read into that wrongly. But also, it's about the emotions that we felt, and I thought that that was really interesting because, like you say, we were feeling like a little bit frustrated in that instance. And we actually took a little bit of time to dig into why. So it's easy just to say, and we did say, well, you know, this isn't our fault. It's, you know, Gravity Forms did this. What are we expected to do? And the obvious thing we're expected to do is test things. Yeah, but we've offered that testing and they didn't take us up on it. And yada, yada, yada. And you get yourself all like a bit worked up. And then we did, and I'm glad we did, just take a moment just to be like, yeah, but how does this feel from their point of view?
Yeah.
It's not an ideal situation. And then what we did is we tried to just like take all that emotion out of it and just, well, what should we do? Like, what situation are we actually in? One of the things that came out of this conversation was, well, what's actually covered in like a support and maintenance contract? And things like that as well. It's like slightly related to that issue. And again, it's like, oh, we've been through this before. You should know what's covered. You know, it's in the contract and yada, yada. And I think that was part of our frustration as well, because it's all written in the contract. It's not up to us to just fix anything that goes wrong for free, essentially. Well, not for free, but... So I think there were some frustrations there as in, well, how do we handle these situations when they come up? What does the client expect from us? That felt like they expected something from us that wasn't reasonable, but maybe it was just a point of clarification. So that's what we ended up doing. We just ended up being like, so this is the situation. This is why that bug. So we dealt with the bug thing. This is what's happened and we fixed it. And then we separately dealt with the whole, this is what our support contract actually includes. And there's two parts to it, because there's like an ongoing maintenance aspect to it where we, you know, keep things up to date, backed up, security scans, that kind of stuff. And then there's also like a development retainer part of it where they get a certain number of hours per month. And I think that they thought that fixes like this come into the first of those parts. So it's like a maintenance contract. And then the hours that they bought from us or for things that they actually request us to do. So it was just a point of like clarifying that again. And that's all you can do is just be like, these are the facts. And then at the end of the email, I just said, we're always happy to discuss the setup of these, you know, contracts and things. If they're not working for you, if that's not what you expected or not what you need going forward from us, let's talk about it and change it.
I think this is set up something that we need to look at in terms of like offering some sort of testing on like key journeys to the websites.
Absolutely.
Whether that be a download form, a contact form, a cart, if you've got that sort of thing, and then setting up something that automates a test, you know, whether it's every day or every 2 days or every week, to ensure that those user journeys are working. Because that's not really something we've ever done in great detail before. I think we did it once or twice on site, but it was just looking essentially at, you know, can you click on this button and it takes you to this page type thing.
Yeah.
That was the sort of thing. It was quite simple. I think this particular instance would be a little bit more complicated than that, but you can do it. And it's something that we should look perhaps to offer certainly some of the bigger clients that we have. Be interested to hear from listeners, like, do they get involved with any of that sort of thing, automated user journey testing to check that things are constantly up and running for those key things that the website should do and how they do it. From memory, I think we used a product called Ghost Inspector last time, which was an online thing, and you sort of, it's a bit like recording a macro old style. You sort of like, you start record and you do the thing in the browser that you want it to do, and then it will essentially copy you eventually when you run it on a sort of Chrome job type thing. So, and then it'll report back to you if it fails. And I think it took screenshots as well of the browser, might be wrong, and showing like what was different and so forth. And I know that there are, you spoke before, haven't you, about that, is it called regression testing?
Yeah, visual regression.
Visual testing, regression testing, where you do screenshots of things. Maybe that's something we need to look into as well. But yeah, if anyone does that sort of stuff, then let us know. It'd be interesting to see how you do it and how it goes. Is it worth it? Is it good? Is it bad? Good to know, definitely.
Yeah. It's been good. I think I've spoken before about, you know, I've just built a house, basically, or just, you know, gone through that process of, renovating our house. And it was really interesting to be on the client side of things with regards to like my builders and things, and just how easily relationships can break down if communication isn't good. And it's like, I basically had a massive argument with them. The builders came back to finish a few little last jobs before we paid the final amount, and we were arguing about those deliverables, and I was like, when are we going to get the electrical certificate? And they said, when do you pay us? And I was like, no, we're going to pay you whenever we get it. And so, and then that just blew up into this big argument, and it turns out that the trust had broken down between the two parties. And he literally said that. He's like, Keith, to be honest, I don't trust you. And I was like, I was really taken aback, because like, I consider myself a very trustworthy person. So I really took that personally, and we had this kind of argument that ended up turning into quite a good, just lay all your cards out on the table type conversation. And it was, and they were feeling in a vulnerable position at that point, because we had this chunk of money left to pay them, and they didn't think that we were going to pay it. They thought we were just going to keep stringing them along. We fully intended to pay it. We thought they were going to do a runner on us without finishing the job. So it's all this like trust stuff. And actually just having that really frank, quite heated and quite emotional actually conversation really made me realize that there are two sides to this. You know, we've been sitting there thinking, oh, these, you know, cowboy builders are doing this, doing that. And they're sitting there thinking, we've done, you know, some good work that, and we just want to get paid for it, you know. And I just think, yeah, there's always another side. There's always another story, and like trying to get into people's heads and not get so like self-focused and defensive, because that's our natural instinct.
Communicating with your client as well, doesn't it? Like making sure you open communications all the time, you know, like asking them, constantly checking in with them, and making sure that you're still in communication. I think it's interesting, because this particular thing came off the back of three bank holidays in this month, and actually that was when we had the call. We have the calls booked in on Mondays, so we hadn't actually spoken them to a while as well. So so it feels like the two parties are a bit detached as well, because you haven't actually had, you know, regular contact. So it's interesting. That's something
absolutely
recommend you have if you have ongoing clients, is booking a monthly call to have a chat with them all the time. And actually, we do that with all our maintenance retainer type clients. And sometimes it's literally just people join the call, you know, how are you? Everything's, you know, we're good. Get all that out of the way. Right, what's going on? Nothing. Everything's fine. And then literally, you know, everyone goes. So it's a 5-minute job, but it still checks in and gives you that human contact. I'd definitely recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, there you go. Bit of a story about dealing with clients for you that happened this week. So let's move on. Any questions from people, then pop them in the chat. We would love to get into some of those, if it's just a discussion point about things you've got from this week in the world of WordPress, then let us know.
Yep.
But we will move on to block development. Yay, block development. So
You've been making progress, haven't you?
I have. Do you know what? I said to you earlier this week, I feel like I've not quite had that ha-ha moment, but I've made more progress this week with kind of like blocks and understanding blocks and doing stuff with them than I have got so far, which is interesting. And so this all started for two things. We have our RecPress product, which listeners will know about, and we're constantly developing that to get better when we integrate it with someone's website. You know, we find things, oh yeah, that could be better, this could be better, and so on. So one of the things we wanted to do, and I can't remember whether we spoke about this last week, is to add blocks for all of the individual elements. So when we're making up the template page for a job, if you've got a block theme, you can start to place those blocks and lay out the page. So we're thinking things for the job description, the application form, the job data, so, you know, like the sector and the salary, etc. And then the consultant that's responsible for the jobs. And then we've actually added the related jobs functionality as well. So that's a block and put in. So I've built blocks for those things and learnt how to use the packages. Is that what they're called? WP scripts, is it called? I can't remember. But basically the thing that does the building of the blocks and compiles everything. I've learned how to make that work with multiple blocks rather than just one block. So you have this package called Create Block Plugin, it's called Create Block Plugin, and it builds you a plugin that is for building a block, but it's only one block. So I've managed to get that to work now with multiple blocks, and then I've kind of pulled those out and pushed them into our plugin rather than using the plugin it creates, which was interesting. Quite straightforward, actually, but again, there's very little documentation about that I could find. Mm. There's an excellent video on YouTube. Someone's showing us how to actually do that and the fact that it, you know, you can do multiple blocks with the same script, which is good. So that was good. And then I've also actually managed to build the blocks to like have attributes, which is like where you save the data to. So I've got my, which block was it that had attributes? The job data block, where you can sort of like show and hide different pieces of data, like show the salary, show the sector, show the job type, and then you can toggle it on and off so it won't show it, which was quite good. And it was pleasing, and it was something that you know you have those little wins, you know, it's like that was good. I've managed to make some progress with it and sort of had that. I said when I really learned how to understand what like actions and filters and hooks were in WordPress, that really opens up a lot of doors. So when you fully understand how they work.
Yeah,
I wouldn't quite say I'm there with blocks yet, but I've got a lot further to understand like what an attribute is and what it's doing and so forth, and then where the data flow in a block works. It's been quite interesting to learn that.
What kind of triggered that moment of realization, or what was it that video by Aruba, or was it the Brian Cords one, or was it the Was it just digging back into block development after leaving it for a while, and you just come back and you're a bit more familiar and you're a bit more?
I think it's all of them, all of the above, really. The two videos I watched really helped. The Aruba's video was all about how to compile multiple blocks, which was actually really straightforward. And again, it's actually so simple, yet it doesn't appear to be anywhere that I could find that tells you how to do that. And then the Brian Cords one was all about, if you haven't watched it, I'd recommend it. I've seen on my Twitter, I've tweeted it out. It was all about adding settings to existing blocks. So in the example in the video, he shows how to add like a responsive settings. So you can toggle responsive settings on and off, and then you can choose whether to hide your block on certain screen sizes. And essentially, all that's doing is adding a class to the wrapper of the block, and then you're using that class to do the sort of work of hiding it and so forth. Mm. But the way in which he explained everything in the video as to what was happening with the data and how that, you know, that you were passing the values into the attributes and things, I just, it was a, you know, like, right, that kind of a click moment, you know, where that's what's happening. And I kind of understood the code, explained it really well. I think a lot of the videos you watch, they gloss over some of the things that, to the person doing the video, is simple stuff, but to someone who's new to all this stuff and all the JavaScript world and everything, it's actually quite difficult to get your head around it. Mm-hmm. I wish more people would comment the code as well, which you know, I still find frustrating.
Yeah, especially when it's like tutorial or demo code.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think stuff that I saw as well was people writing essentially if-else statements in fancy ways. within JavaScript. And I know you can do that in PHP, can't you? And we probably do it in PHP. But when you're teaching someone how to do something, for me, like, you do it the most obvious way, you know. So, you know, this code is like, if this is true, then we're going to do this. And I think in JavaScript, there's some, that appears to me anyway, to be some like quite strange ways of writing stuff that is essentially a, if this equals that, then we're going to do something.
Yeah.
But when you're reading it, for me, it doesn't read like that. It's quite, you know, quite complicated. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. Like I said, I enjoyed doing it. And a lot of my block development has been quite frustrating and painful at times. And this week, you know, I actually enjoyed building some blocks. I did some more work on this morning. You wanted some titles on things, didn't you? So I managed to add those. Although I had a weird issue this morning where my build folder just kind of disappeared. All my blocks just had a block JSON and that was it. It had no other files in them. I was like, oh my God, what have I done? And then the thing would compile.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what I did. I just sort of came out of it and then ran npm start again and it kind of just worked. So I don't know what happened. Right. But I was like, oh my God, if that's broken, what have I done? Like, I'm not going to be able to fix this because I don't really know what's going on.
So you turned it off and turned it back on again.
I basically turned it off and turned it on and it seemed to fix itself, which was great. Which was good, a relief. So that was that. But yeah, it's been good fun. Been good fun.
Good. Yeah, it's good. It's nice to see that product coming along. We're nearly somewhere. we're nearly at a stage. Well, we already are building on a client site, so using it on a client site, but it's like constantly tweaking the code and refactoring. But that's good. It's good. We're getting to a good place where I think it's going to work. It's going to work
that's
well.
How those products get better, isn't it? You look at it and I said this to you, we'll integrate it on a number of sites now, probably. Maybe it'll be the next 10 sites, maybe the next 20 sites, I don't know. And at that point, we'll be sort of, oh, we should change that because we could then do this, and then we should change this because that'll happen.
Yeah.
And you go,
that might be one of those times where you know, at some point, we'll have to make the decision, do we do RecPress 2 or do we just keep trying to go on the same journey, or do we just like completely refactor the code base at some point because we realize with experience that we should have done things this way or that way, or you know, there's too much legacy to keep moving forward. Be interesting when we get there, if we get there. I can sort of see it happen. To wrap up, we won't be at WordCamp Europe. I think it's this, when is it, Thursday or something? I think it's towards the end of next week, or middle end of next week.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think next week.
Yeah, 8th, WordCamp, 9th, WordCamp Europe in Athens, Greece, which, you know, maybe we should have gone, but we say that every year. I think if I went to somewhere like Athens, I'd just want to sightsee and not sit in a conference room. I might just sightsee during the day and turn up to the after party in the evening or something like that to do some networking and socializing. But yeah, I hope everyone has a really good time. I'm looking forward to catching some of the highlights and some of the good talks. There's always some interesting stuff that comes out of these like bigger WordCamps, I think. There's usually some like fairly big announcements about something, or Matt will have something to say, or you know, the Gutenberg team will demo some upcoming cool feature or feature that scares the crap out of everybody. there's usually lots of stuff to talk about after a WordCamp. So yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to paying attention to it from afar.
I assume it'll be streamed. I've no idea. I'm guessing it'll. Do we need a ticket to stream? Or do we just watch it? I don't know.
Let's have a look.
Yeah. Assume the topics will all be there. I haven't even looked at the talks for a while.
I haven't. I know someone who's going. I was talking to him this morning and they hadn't even looked at the schedule yet, so
busy,
plenty of time. But let's wrap it up for this week. Thank you for joining us. As always, if you liked the video, please give us a little like on YouTube. Subscribe if you want to get more of this kind of content. We're also on as a podcast, so you can subscribe to the podcast if that's more your thing, and you can follow us on Twitter as well. Too many calls to actions there, that's the problem. Just do whatever you need to do to get more WP Cafe in your life. But thanks for joining us today. Maybe not see you next week. I haven't even said this to you, Mark. I might not be here next Friday. It's my anniversary. So we may reschedule for, I don't know, Thursday afternoon, or we might have to skip a week. We will kind of...
That's why you're not going to WordCamp Europe then.
That's probably one of the reasons. That's not a big anniversary. It's all right. Had that last year. So cool. Well, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining us. See you soon.
Bye-bye.